It's really good just to have you with us here at Oikos Church, and it's great to see some new faces. And so welcome. If maybe this is your first time, maybe we met you yesterday on the high street or knocked on your door. And so we just want to say thank you for coming. Thank you, Brother Andy. So so welcome to Oikos. So particularly if you're new with us today, we've just started a series about 3 weeks ago, looking at probably the most famous teaching of Jesus, and it's referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. But essentially what Jesus is doing in this sermon is he's explaining what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. And so so you and I are part of a kingdom, a united kingdom. And so being a citizen of the United Kingdom has with it some amazing privileges. What would one of those privileges be of being a citizen of the United Kingdom? The NHS, is that a blessing? Absolutely. And so what a privilege we have to have health care free at the point of service. And so what a blessing that is. We have the blessing of a freedom of speech and freedom of religion. We can gather here today knowing that we're safe and no one will come and persecute us for it. So there are loads and loads of privileges we have as citizens of the United Kingdom, but there are also responsibilities. Is that true? And so we have responsibilities to do what? What would be an example of responsibility? Pay taxes. What else? Obey the law. Drive the speed limit. Amen. If you fancy, we've got a new sat nav in our car. And it's got this feature where every time you go 2 miles an hour over the speed limit, it like starts screaming at you. And it's been horrible because now my kids are like, Daddy, you're speeding. Daddy, you're speeding. Max asked me the other day, Daddy, would Jesus speed? Only if he was running late. I don't know. I'm not sure. But we will be disabling that function on our sat-nav, by the way. So we need to do the speed limit, and we need to obey the laws. And so to be a citizen of the United Kingdom, we have amazing benefits, but we also have responsibilities. And so what we see in the kingdom of God, Jesus is going to tell us that there are amazing benefits to being part of his kingdom, but there are also responsibilities. And so we're going to look at one of those responsibilities this morning. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 5. And so if you're visiting with us, there should be a stack of Bibles there on the table. And if someone has the page number, please feel free to yell that out to us. 690. So 690 is our page number. And Jesus is speaking about the topic of marriage, and we're going to look at one of these responsibilities that we have in the kingdom of God for those of us who love and follow Jesus. And this is what Jesus says in the book of Matthew, chapter 31. Now, this is Jesus teaching. This is him speaking. And there would have been a large crowd of people there. And so Jesus is explaining to them what it means to be part of his kingdom. And this is what he says in verse 31, chapter 5. And mine might be a slight different than yours, but it's going to be very close. He says this. Jesus says, "It has been said that anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries that divorced woman, they also commit adultery." Now, I want you to just flip forward, stay in Matthew, and just flip to chapter 19, because Jesus continues this discussion, and he goes in a bit more detail. And so this complements one another, this teaching. So give us a kind of more complete picture. So verse 1, chapter 19, page number? 702. Thank you, Nikki. 702. We'll start in verse 1. "Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea, to the other side of the Jordan. Now large crowds followed him, and he healed them in that place. Now some Pharisees, Pharisees were like the religious teachers. Some religious teachers came to Jesus to test him. And they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Now catch that. The question is, can someone be divorced for any reason, any and every reason? And then Jesus answers their question. Jesus says, haven't you read, he replied, that in the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Now therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? And Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, and marries another woman, commits adultery. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you again for your word, and we thank you for just the opportunity to learn more about what it means to be part of your kingdom. And so we ask once again that you would soften our hearts and open our minds that we might hear you speak by your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So a few moments ago, we had a conversation around the tables or against the back wall about those in our society, those in Erdington, those in Birmingham, who are marginalized. And so we might think of those with physical or mental disabilities, as was mentioned. We think of refugees. Some instances, it might be people of faith, including Christians. We might think of those who are homeless, Malcolm said. We think of those with mental health issues. Many, we wouldn't have to go far, in fact, to see many who are just pushed to the sides of our society. And in fact, sometimes they go noticed, but often they go unnoticed. And no one looks at them. No one speaks to them. Andy Vaughn and I were praying a couple months ago and talking about what could we maybe do to just begin to reach out to the homeless around us. And Andy sent me a wonderful, I don't remember if it was an email or a link to someone he knew who was in Liverpool and who encountered a homeless person in Liverpool and just entered into a conversation with them and asked them, what if there's anything one person could do for you, what would it be? Now, what would you anticipate the answer would be? Maybe money, maybe a job, maybe a place to live. But this is what the guy said to Andy's friend. He said, if I could have one thing, it would be that people would talk to me. It'd just be that people would talk to me. He said, because you know what? I sit here all day and people would pay more attention to a stray dog than they do to a homeless person. Isn't that amazing? So if I could just have one thing, it would just be for people to acknowledge that I'm human, marginalized. And so what I want us to see for just a few moments this morning is, and here's just kind of the big idea. The big idea, the takeaway is this, that in the kingdom of God, everyone is valuable. Amen? In the kingdom of God, everyone is valuable. It doesn't matter if you're homeless or if you live in a mansion. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, rich, poor, male, female. In the kingdom, everyone is loved and valued. And I believe, and hopefully we'll all see this together in a minute, I believe that's at the heart of this passage. I believe at the very heart of this passage is not a regulation of marriage, God bless you, but that it's the idea that everyone is valued and loved in the kingdom of God. Look what he says here. They ask that question, can anyone be divorced for any and every reason? And then Jesus will begin to unpack for them what marriage looks like. And in fact, when he's done, the disciples, you'll see in chapter 19, if we go on, the disciples begin to say, you know what, maybe it's better we just don't get married. That's a hard teaching. I love the way the disciples respond. When Jesus talks about money, you know, they'll say, well, can anybody be saved? When he talks about marriage, he's like, let's all stay single. They don't know what to do with the teachings of Jesus because they're so countercultural. And so they're trying to get their heads around marriage, and Jesus has just made it really narrow, the reasons you can get divorced. Now, here's what I believe is at the heart of this, and we'll see this through the scripture. We have to understand how women were treated in that culture. So there's an old Hebrew prayer that Jewish rabbis would pray every morning, and it went something like this. I can't do it in Hebrew, but I'll do it in English. Here's the translation. I thank you, God, this day that I am not a Gentile, a dog, or a woman. That was your opening devotion for a Jewish rabbi. I thank you, Lord, for this day. It's a beautiful day. And by the way, thank you that I'm not a Gentile, a dog, or a woman. Now that gives us an amazing insight into how women were viewed in that day. Now, do we see it in cultures in modern days? Absolutely. I say none of this to pick on the nation of Saudi Arabia. I'm sure it's an amazing place and they give us a lot of petrol. But, right now in Saudi Arabia, if you're a woman, from the moment you're born to the day you die, by law, you have to have a male guardian. A male legal guardian. So when you're born, it's your father. If some point, if your father's too old and he can't perform that duty, it becomes your brother. If you don't have a brother, it becomes an uncle. It becomes a male relative who becomes your legal guardian. So I mean, if you're a woman and you're 40 years old, you have a male legal guardian to the day you die. Why would a woman need a male legal guardian? She needs it a guardian to give her permission to be married, to give her permission to travel both throughout the country and outside the country. She needs permission from a male guardian to go to university. She needs permission from a male guardian to take employment. She needs permission from a male guardian to open a bank account. And she needs permission from a male guardian to have elective surgery at hospital. That's today. I went onto one of their government websites. Women in Saudi Arabia are not allowed to drive. It's against the law. And it listed five reasons the government gave that women should not have driver's licenses. Here was number one. Number one, driving a car involves uncovering your face. So for a woman to drive, her face would have to be shown, and that can't be permitted. Number two, driving a car may lead women to go out of their house more often. Shocking, absolutely shocking. Amen, Oikos? That one actually is. Number three, driving a car may lead a woman to have interaction with her non-guardian male, for example, at a traffic accident. So it gives an example. If a woman crashes into a man who's not her guardian, she now has to speak to a man who's not her guardian, and that's not permitted. Number four, women driving cars may lead to overcrowding the streets, and many young men may be deprived of the opportunity to drive. Number five, last one. Driving would be the first step in the erosion of traditional values. Now, that was very similar to the view the Jews had in the time of Jesus. They didn't have cars, but it was very similar. So this is how divorce worked in that day. You go to get married, right? And so as you do all the arrangements to be married, and there was a lot of legality involved, the woman you were marrying, her family provided a dowry. And that could be money, it could be land, it could be animals. So say, for example, Christy and I, we're engaged to be married, and so we enter into negotiations with her dad, and he says, you know what, as a gift to you for marrying Christy, which, by the way, she was the greatest gift of all, amen? Yeah. So you got to say those things. So if you'll marry Christy, we'll give you a car, we'll give you a big screen TV, and we'll give you 2 acres of land. Now, that begins the negotiations. And so Christy and I get married. Now, what did I just get out of the marriage? I got everything I just listed, right? Don't miss this. Maybe I actually didn't want Christy. I just wanted her family stuff. Are you with me? And so now what can I do? In that culture, it was legal to divorce your wife for any reason. So burning your dinner, gone, right? Some of you would have been divorced a long time ago, amen? Right? Burning your dinner, not cleaning the house. Matter of fact, if I just wake up and just fancy, I don't really want to be married to you anymore. Done. Now, here's the problem with that. Once the woman is cast out, man, she's a pariah. She, in many cases, she's just untouchable. But because people are thinking there must be something wrong with her if she was cast out. Now, she can get married another time, but guess what she has to do? She has to come up with another dowry. Her family has to find another car, another big screen TV, and some more land. The only verse that deals with any of this in the Old Testament is in Deuteronomy. And all it says is that I can't marry her again because that would be wrong to get a dowry twice. So what if her family runs out of stuff? All of a sudden, no one's going to want to marry her, and she's literally on the streets. She's homeless. And remember, I thank you, God, that I'm not a Gentile, a dog, or a what? A woman. That's how it was viewed, okay? Now, enter into the picture, Jesus. And Jesus comes along and says, actually, things are now changing. And in my kingdom, it's going to be different. Why? Because women are valued. And we're going to walk right through it. Just four quick, simple points. Here they are. Number one, that in the kingdom of God, women are to be treasured. That in the kingdom of God, women are to be treasured. Women are every bit as equal to men. They are loved just as much by God. They are treasured just as much by God. They are valued just as much by God. And it's funny what Jesus does here. To make this point, Jesus goes back to creation. Jesus goes back to Genesis. And this is what he says, remember? It said, Jesus answered, have you not read, he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? What Jesus says to make his argument is this. Jesus says, look, the reason we know that women are valuable is because they were made in the image of God. In fact, if you read the book of Genesis, the Bible is clear that Adam was, he was just missing something in his life. He had all of creation. He had all of the animals. He had a perfect garden. He had everything he needed, so he thought. And then you remember what it says in Genesis? The Bible says that God looked at him and realized it is not good that man is alone. And so he made him, the word, one translation says, a helpmate. He made him an equal, someone that was made by God. Listen, in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, and dare I say with boldness, at Oikos Church, women are valued and treasured. Amen?
Amen.
Women are valued and treasured. And why? Because in the beginning, God made. Now, you have to appreciate the fact that for those who are there hearing this, this was radical. For Jesus to imply that a woman was equal to a man would have been scandalous. And yet Jesus does that very thing. And so in the kingdom of God, women are to be treasured. So we kind of get this takeaway that in his kingdom, women are equally valued and loved. Equally valued and loved. And that's critical to how we treat one another, how we relate to one another. Women in the kingdom are to be treasured. And by the way, I think we're on safe ground to expand that and to say that anyone in the kingdom is equally loved and valued. Anyone in the kingdom is equally loved and valued. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, the world. And so in the kingdom, people are equally loved and valued and treasured. Doesn't matter if you're from Erdington, Sutton Coalfield, and whatever's in between. Jesus loves you. And you are equally valued. Doesn't matter how much money's in your checking account. Doesn't matter if you even have a checking account. God loves you. And you're special to him because he made you and he created you. We see a second thing, and it's this. That in the kingdom of God, marriage is to be sacred. Women are to be treasured in the kingdom, but marriage is to be sacred, Jesus is going to say. He says this in our text. He says, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. What God has joined together, let no one separate. Now remember, they're coming from a context where you could be divorced if you just woke up and you thought your toast was too dark. Or you could be divorced if you just really just wanted the dowry and didn't want to be married anyways. For any and every reason, the Pharisees said. Jesus comes along and says, no, no, no. There's actually only one reason, and that's marital unfaithfulness. Marital unfaithfulness. And by the way, he doesn't say that means you have to get divorced. I know many a couple who have went through that, and God has done amazing things of healing and reconciliation. So he doesn't say you have to get divorced, but he says you can. He says you can do. But he narrows it down to one thing. Now, why does he do that? He does it, number one, to protect women, yeah, because women are treasured in the kingdom. Secondly, he does it because marriage is sacred. Now, why is marriage sacred to Jesus? Because marriage in the Bible is a picture of Jesus and his church. A picture of Jesus and his church. A couple of weeks ago in our gospel community group, during our Bible study time, we broke into two groups and we were looking at verses in the Bible about heaven. And one of those verses was about the picture of heaven was a picture of a wedding. And those who love and follow Jesus, those who know Jesus, who are in heaven, the Bible there in Revelation, I think it was, wasn't it? Was saying that we are the bride of Christ, adorned by Christ. And that is amazing. That's amazing to think about. If you've ever been to a wedding, and I would imagine many of us have, kind of the mountaintop, the apex of the wedding is when the bride appears. Is that true? I mean, when us guys show up and we got a cummerbund, I don't know why I just did it that way, and we got, hello, and I want my dowry, and we got a bow tie. You know, nobody looks at the groom and goes, man, look at that guy. He is amazing. You know, people are like, yeah, where's the bride? You know, they don't do dun, 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 dun. Everybody stand when the guy shows up. They're just like, stand right there and don't move. And so and you never know what to do with your hands, by the way, do you? So you do that move. And then you do that, you know, and so, yeah, thank you, Andy, you know, you're doing that move. And so you're just standing there waiting, aren't you? And then the minister says, rise. And the door's open. And it was 25 years ago almost, but I'll never forget seeing Christy Cruz. That's her surname, by the way. It's a pretty cool name, isn't it? Never forget seeing Christy Cruz standing at the back door with that amazing gown and just thinking, that's my bride. That's my bride. Now, think about this. In heaven, we're the bride. And Jesus is the groom. Seems like it should be backwards, doesn't it? The groom's not the one who gets the attention. The bride does. And he says that in heaven, that Jesus is standing there looking at his bride thinking, isn't she beautiful? I died for her, and she's been cleansed and sanctified, and I've been waiting. And then the Bible says there's going to be a feast. Yeah. So why is marriage important to Jesus? Because the Bible says that marriage is a picture of Jesus and the church. And so we don't want to hold marriage loosely. We don't want to be kind of willy-nilly with it. Why? Because it's an opportunity for those around us who don't know Jesus to see a living example of Jesus and his church. So Jesus says, in his kingdom, women are to be treasured. He says, in his kingdom, marriage is to be sacred. Third, we see this in the text. Jesus says, in the kingdom of God, divorce is to be avoided. Divorce is to be avoided. He says this in the scripture, back at verse 5, Jesus says, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And I like that translation, the victim, right? And that's exactly what she would have been. She'd been a victim. Makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Jesus is narrowing all the reasons to divorce down to one. this idea of marital unfaithfulness. And so Jesus is saying that women are to be treasured, that marriage is to be sacred, but yet divorce is to be avoided. And this is a bit of an obvious statement. I'm sure all of us have been touched in some way, but it's this, that divorce, we know, brings pain and sorrow to all involved. Divorce, we know, brings pain and sorrow to all involved. Like myself, I know many of you grew up with divorced parents. My parents divorced when I was about the age of 10. And I know many of you have walked through that yourself, and you know the pain and the sorrow that can bring, that can last well into your adult years. And so I'm sensitive to the fact that you know that pain as well, and you know that sorrow. Now again, Jesus has given a reason for divorce, and sometimes it needs to happen, and sometimes it can honor the Lord when it's done according to the Scripture. But again, he's saying that adultery, Jesus knows, he narrows it to that, but he knows that divorce can bring pain and sorrow. So he says it's really something to be avoided. And reconciliation is something to be celebrated. Amen. And it can happen. And we've seen it happen. And we've seen Jesus working in through marriages where families are restored and reconciled one to another. And so women are to be treasured. Marriage is to be sacred. Divorce is to be avoided. But then finally we see this. Then in the kingdom of God, my heart is to be guarded. In the kingdom of God, my heart is to be guarded. This is what Jesus says in chapter 19, in verse 8. He says, Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. Notice what he says. He says, there was a time when Moses worked out a system where you could receive a certificate to become divorced. So that was an act of grace. That was an act of grace by the Lord. So remember, let's go back to Christy and I. And I've received her dowry, right, from her family. I've received land and a car and loads of stuff. And now I decide, you know what, Christy, thanks for all that. I'm done. Out you go, right? Now remember, she's now untouchable. No one wants anything to do with her. She's broken. Something must be wrong with her. And so Moses comes along and says, okay, here's what the Lord's told us to do. We need to have a certificate that Christy can have. And so when Christy then leaves, showing that certificate to others will make her more desirable to be married a second time. And so one might come along and they fancy Christy and they begin to court one another, and then they find out that she was married before, but she has this certificate and she's able to kind of show, yes, but here were the reasons and everything was legal, and that would be an act of grace to help protect her. But this is what Jesus says in response to that. Remember, he's narrowing it because of the value of women. He says, yes, Moses did that, but he only did it because your hearts were hard. He only did it because you were so busy mistreating women that he had to come up with something to help protect them. And that was not about because God created a bunch of bad Jewish women. It's because a bunch of Jewish men had hard hearts. Just like English men have hard hearts. And American men have hard hearts. And without Jesus, we all do, don't we? And so, he says, it was because of the hardness of your heart. Now, this application has covers the whole series, and it's this, that in Jesus' kingdom, who I am on the inside is always more important than who I am on the outside. In the kingdom of Jesus, who I am on the inside is always more important than who I am on the outside. In fact, who I am on the inside will eventually be revealed on the outside. Is that true? The Bible says, I'll give you an example, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right? So eventually, you'll know what's in my heart because my words will tell you. You'll know what's in my heart because my attitudes will show you. You'll know what's in my heart because my actions will affect you. Did you get that? You'll know what's in my heart because my words will tell you. You'll know what's in my heart because my actions, my attitude will show you. But eventually, what's in my heart will impact you and our relationship. And so, as Jesus continues, as we'll see in the weeks to come, this idea of the kingdom, let's always remember that who we are on the inside, that's what counts. One of my favorite verses in the Bible says this, that God is no respecter of persons. You know what that means? That means no one impresses God. Is that good news? You know? I dress to impress quite often. Jez, that was harsh. That was harsh, brother. Right? You know, we might dress to impress others. We might say things to impress others. We might do kind things to impress others. But God says, you know, respect our persons. We can't impress God, right? We're just all equal. And what God is concerned with is not what is on the outside, but who we are on the inside. So here's the thing, and then we're going to worship the Lord. I've got to be changed from the inside out. See, that's the thing. I've got to be changed from the inside out. Religion would try to change me from the outside in. We had the privilege to knock on some doors this week and have some great conversations with some of you and others yesterday, and had one guy say, well, you know what, I'm just not into religion. I said, wonderful, we're not either. Wonderful, you're in the right place. Because religion will try to change you from the outside, but Jesus wants to change you from the inside. And he wants to do a work in us that we never thought could happen. And so as we'll worship the Lord again through song, just let me say that if you don't know if there's been a day in your life that when you've been changed from the inside out, maybe you've tried religion, maybe you've tried other things, but you would just say, you know what, at the end of the day, I'm still the same person. We would love to share with you how you too can become part of the kingdom of God and how you can know Jesus the King. Not just know about him. I know a lot about the queen, but I don't know the queen. You know what? It's not just knowing about Jesus, but it's knowing Jesus. And he wants to know you and love you. And so when we finish up in just a few moments, would you just come and grab me or Nikki or Pastor Jez or just anyone and just say, hey, could you tell me more about how I can know the King and be in his kingdom? And we would love to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us. And as I pray, our musicians are going to come. And we're just going to worship this God who values everyone, male, female, black, white, rich, poor. You are special to God.